على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. وقال تعالى: قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون. وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن ولا يبدين زينتهن. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Yesterday we explained about Rosa that we should keep a complete and perfect Rosa, not only abstaining from food, drink and our sexual desires, but also that we abstain from other things. Amongst them, yesterday we discussed the guna about the tongue, or the control of the tongue. That is also very important. And this is a yama ma'adudat. It's a training period of just a few days. And if a person gets trained, then he can go out and on in the field, and forever he can be doing his work. So if we train ourselves correctly for this period, and control of the tongue, and if we will learn to abstain from halal also in this month, as we abstain from halal food, drink, our halal wives we abstain from. So in the same way, if we abstain from halal speech also, and speak as little as possible, only what is absolutely necessary, then inshallah, by the barakat of this Ramadan Mubarak, we will be able to abstain from haram speech our whole life. Lies, backbiting, rumor mongering, all this. There's one person, there was a slave, and the slave seller was selling them in the market, and it is necessary, according to Shariat, if there is a fault in your product, you must make known the fault. So he made known that this slave here has got a habit of carrying tails. So a person came and he wanted to buy the slave, and he thought that it's not such a big thing, just carrying tails. It's not such a big thing. He bought the slave. But the people who have got this habit of carrying tails is terrible. So when he went, he was bought by the master. So he stayed for a few days. Then he told the master that your wife has got an affair with somebody, and she's out, she wants to kill you. And she told the wife, your husband has got an affair with somebody. But neither one knew that she went and tell this to the other one and that to the other one. He told her that the only way is that if you kill him. And to kill him, keep a blade at night when he sleeps, you slit his throat and he will die. And he told her that your husband wants to get married, he has got an affair and he wants to be young. So he wants to shave his beard. The only way is you shave his beard. And for that, you take a blade and you go. So at night when they slept, so the husband was doubting her that she's going to slit his throat, and she was going to shave his beard. When he found the blade, then he used the blade to slit her throat. And this is what this rumor, tale carrying. And unfortunately, this is very common. And it happens right in the home. And in the home, especially where there are daughters-in-law, they like to carry tales. And every daughter-in-law wants to be the favorite, and she wants to poison the mind of the mother-in-law, of the in-laws, with regard to the other daughters. So the tongue is a very, very serious thing. The tongue is such that Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala has made it that when a child is in the womb of the mother, then at that time, after 4 months, the life comes in the child. And the mother feels movement, life, the child has got life. And because it's got life, it needs food to eat also. So that food, the arrangement Allah Ta'ala has made, are the monthlies, the monthly menses of the mother, which is dirty, impure blood. But Allah in His wisdom has made that the food of the child. But Allah Ta'ala made the arrangement that since it is that dirty, filthy blood, Allah made it, it goes directly from the stomach of the mother to the stomach of the child. And that is why the umbilical cord is there. When a child is born, the most important thing is to cut the umbilical cord. The midwife has to do that. So Allah made this. Why did Allah do that? To keep the mouth completely pure and clean. That this mouth, when it will come in this world, it will read Kalima, Quran Sharif, Zikr. The mouth must not be made impure. Now it is up to us, the child that is born, how many times we teach the child to lie. We tell the child, go and tell the person at the door that daddy is not here. So the child learns to lie, and the child, it sets in the mind of the child that it's not so serious to lie. My father also lies. A mother, how many things she tells the child, you must tell daddy like this, you must tell daddy like that. So the child knows that my mother lies, my father lies, so that Allah kept the tongue pure, but we make the tongue dirty. Also, how many parents, when the children by nature, they use bad language, and when the parents, etc., encouraging by laughing at it, enjoying, that when somebody else's child uses bad language, then those people don't discipline their children. When our children use that bad language, then they are very cute, and we enjoy it. So just see how they speak. So we teach them all these things. Allah kept the tongue pure, and we dirty the tongue. So Allah has kept it pure, we should keep it pure also. And why did Allah Ta'ala make of the many wisdoms which only Allah can know, we can never ever fathom them. Right? The poet says, "Tu meri dil mein aata hai, meri samaj mein nahi aata. Main jaan gaya, yahi teri pehchan hai. You come into my heart, I believe in you, but with my mind, I cannot fathom you. You are so great, your wisdom is so much that where can we ever recognize Allah Ta'ala as Allah Ta'ala is?" Which the hadith also says, "Ma'arafnaka haqqa ma'arifati." We haven't recognized you as you are to be recognized. And in fact it is, "Ma'araftuka ma'arifatan." I haven't recognized you one bit. Allah is so great, with our small brains, where are we going to fathom and understand and know Allah Ta'ala? So one of the reasons that Allah Ta'ala has kept the menses, the dirty blood, the food of the child, that which Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, "Huwa a'lamu bikum idh ansha'akum min al-ardh." That Allah Ta'ala knows you better when He made you from sand. And with sand, other places Allah Ta'ala says mud. When say water mixes with sand, mud, from there the things start growing. Seeds, etc., they split apart, and then the plant comes out. And from there now, fruit, wheat, corn, all these things are which man eats. From there, blood is made. From the blood, sperm is made. From the sperm, the child is made. From this earth. And other places, Allah said directly that Allah created you from earth. So Allah Ta'ala created you from that. وَعَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. And when you were a jinnah, when you were just that small little, not even the fully formed child, Allah knows you. So in other words, you are the one who was eating this, you survived, and you were sustained with this dirty blood and the filth. So now, don't فلا تزكوا أنفسكم. Now don't carry on that you are very very clean and very pure. هو أعلم بكم. Allah knows you perfectly well what you are. And for that reason, and many other reasons also, pride is, has got no place in a human being. There was no possibility for a human to be proud. But when he is proud, that is why Allah dislikes it. And it is one of the major sin, this pride. It is a killer disease. And yesterday we mentioned that a person should check his pride. After Isha we mentioned that the Hadith Sharif says two things you must check in yourself, and then you will know whether you have got pride in you or not. Ghamtun nas, you look down upon people. And this gets covered up also. A person says, I don't look down upon people. And the further analysis of that is when you are finding fault in people all the time. All the time, whether you speak about it or not, or in your heart, this one is like this, this one said this, this one did that, that fault finding, that is one sign that you have got pride in you. This is generally, not in every case. Some people, like the examiner, if he has to mark a paper, and he says, if I'm going to take out faults, then I got pride. So I'm not going to take out any mistakes in this paper. Give every student 100%. Because if I find faults, there is a sign I got pride. Now that's not the case. There are people who have to see the faults also. A sheikh, it's his duty to see the faults in his murid and point them out and then have them corrected. A ustad, it's his duty to see the faults in his students. If a ustad is hearing the sabak of his student, and the student making mistakes, he say, if I take out faults, it shows I'm trying to show I'm better than the student. So I won't take out any faults. That is totally haram, of course. So those people, parents for their children, and that is the object also there, is the islah of the person. And if you want to take out the faults and see the faults, just to satisfy yourself that I'm better than the other person, then of course that is totally haram. So even a ustad mustn't just take out faults for the sake of faults, but for the islah, for the correction. So in the similar, it can be extended that if we see the faults of other people and we correct it, then that is all right. But just to see it and just to satisfy ourselves, I'm better than that person. Many people feel that I deserve khilafat. Those who got khilafat, see what faults they got in them. This is all clear signs of pride. This. So in any case, that is one sign of pride. Another sign is batrul haq, that the truth you don't want when you are told. Many people come and ask for advice also. You give them advice, 10 points you give them, everyone, but this I do, this is like this. They got an answer for every advice. They don't want to accept. So that is also a sign of pride, where a person does not want to accept whatever he's told. He doesn't want to accept. He's got a counter argument, a counter reasoning for everything. And one of the clear signs of pride also generally is anger, the anger of a person. Anger is one of the children of pride. When a person has got pride, then anger comes into him also. And he just becomes angry that you haven't fulfilled my right, you haven't done this, you haven't done that, and therefore now the person becomes angry. So anger is also a sign of pride. So we should check ourselves on this. And as it was read in the kitab last night, pride is that disease that will destroy all our good. And we are disliked by Allah Ta'ala, hated by people also. And a proud person doesn't get anywhere in life. And a humble person, Allah has promised. In the Hadith Sharif it comes, Man tawada'a, a person who humbles himself, but lillah. Not to say that the people must say that I'm a very humble person. For Allah's sake, rafa'ahu Allah. Allah makes that person high. And a person must not have the desire to become high. Allah will make that person high. Give him respect, give him honor, etc. وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ, the second part of that hadith, a person who has pride, And he shows his haughtiness and his arrogance. وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ Allah will drop that person down. And if Allah drops you, the whole world can't pick you up. So this pride is a terrible thing. So anyway, so a human being should not have pride. When Allah made him of sand in the first place, Shaitan also had no right to have pride. But he was a mantiqi, a logical person, the Shaitan, and his argument in his mind was correct. He didn't see the other part, that whose command it is. But that he said that, you have created me from fire, fire goes up. How can one who goes up bow down and make sajda to one that is made of sand that is down? In other words, he also is an indication that man has no right to have pride in him. He's made of sand, and his very beginning, his foundation, his sustenance was dirty blood, to teach him a lesson for the rest of his life. For we gave him 5 months, that dirty blood, for him to sustain himself, so that he will learn this lesson. I'm made of sand, and my sustenance, the very foundation of it, for 5 long months, was just this dirty blood. And then when he was born, totally helpless. He couldn't do one thing for himself. And after he was born, he was in this world, also totally helpless. For everything he was muhtaj. And today he's got pride in him. Today he's got, he's showing so much of arrogance. And that is why it is such a detested and such a terrible quality. If one Ramzan passes and we can get ourselves saved of just this one thing also, just of pride also, we would have achieved a great deal. And we would see for ourselves what goodness has come into our lives. A person who has got 5, 6 illnesses, physical illnesses, one he's saved from. You got sugar also, you got cholesterol also, you got high blood also, you got high acid also, lot of other problems you have got. And if you save yourself from one, you feel quite happy about it, that at least this one problem is gone. And pride, if we can get rid of that, then for in one Ramzan, just one disease, even just pride we get rid of, then we would have done such a great favor to ourselves, and we ourselves will feel so much better after Ramadan. Just like if your blood pressure is very high, your sugar levels, and now you are cured of it, how happy you feel, how nice you feel. Sugar makes you feel dizzy, weak, your eyes you can't see properly, you lethargic, etc. Now you're feeling nice all the time. You've got energy in you. You can see properly how well you feel. So just like that, all the spiritual diseases also. So this is one disease that we must try and save ourselves. Anyway, still coming back to yesterday's talk, that the tongue which Allah Ta'ala has made, Allah kept it pure in the womb of the mother, that no dirt must come into it. It must come completely pure. Now we should keep it pure. Then in this world, see how Allah Ta'ala has made, when the tongue, Allah has placed it between 2 jaws and between 32 teeth. And this also, the tongue, another great point which Allah has made in the making of the tongue, that it is one of the parts of the body that has got no bones in it. The tongue has got no bones. In there was a lesson for us to learn, that whenever you speak, that your words must not be hard, like bone is hard, like stone is hard, like that. No, your words must not be hard. And you must say the truth. The right you must say, but the right also you must say in the right way. To put a thing right, if there is something which is wrong happening in your house, in your business, wherever, and you want to put it right, you can put it right the right way, and you can put it right the wrong way also. For example, somebody stole his horse. He came to know who stole it. So at night he went and he scaled the fence, and he went into that person's place to bring back his own horse. But that person reported him to the police, and he was arrested. That you went in, trespass for one, and you on your own went and take your horse. It was your horse, but this is will be also regarded as stealing. You should have done it in the right way, reported it to the police, go with the police with a warrant of a search warrant, etc. Means you have to do the right thing in the right way. So whenever we want to put something right, you must also put it in the right way. The words you use, the arguments you use, the statements you make, they also have to be well weighed before time. It's a famous saying, and unfortunately there's a problem with this, which everyone knows also, as we had mentioned, it's common sense, but common sense is too common, and we are too special. We can't accept common sense, and that is that you must think before you speak. Everyone knows that, but hardly anyone does that. We all speak first, and after that we think. And then we say, I should have said this, and I should have said that. But we first speak, and then we think. And with a little bit of training, we'll see it's very, very easy to first think. No matter how angry also we can be, we will first think. And then in that, the Quran Sharif says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qulu qawlan sadida. Speak in the straight way. There's a translation, the tafsir is different, but when you speak, then speak correctly. Speak the right thing. Yuslih lakum a'malakum. The translation is, your a'mal will be corrected. The tafsir is, your a'mal will be accepted. And the translation and tafsir comes to one, that if you learn to speak correctly, then your a'mal will be correct. When they are correct, Allah will accept it also. So for our a'mal to be correct, we have to learn to speak correctly. And there is a lot of detail in correct speaking also. For example, when we speak, how many times some announcement is made, whether Jamaat brother, sometimes it's a new brother, or somebody else, they just turn one side and they look. And they just mumble, nobody knows. Everyone is looking at one another's faces, that what was said. Or sometimes some other announcement is also made. It must be made very clearly. And then, if it's a short announcement, make it twice or even thrice. When you look in this side, then this side people didn't hear. When you look this side, make your announcement again. And then speak slowly. Sometimes we speak so fast, we are chewing our words. Just like many reciter of the Quran Sharif, especially a new Hafiz, who hasn't been trained fully. He reads very fast and he's chewing his words. And many, even people who are not Hafiz, people who don't know Quran Sharif, they also don't like the reading. That person, they also say he's chewing his words. In like that, in every language, whenever we speak, don't speak too fast. Some people speak as though they've got a pan in their mouth. Like when you got a sweet in your mouth, a pan in your mouth, or too much saliva is forming in the mouth, the words don't come clear. A person should learn to speak clearly and measure his words. Don't rush and try and say, you're trying to say 10 things and you're rushing and nobody understands. Rather say 3 things slowly which the people understand. Forget 3, even 1 thing. If they understand properly, that is more important. So that also is very important. And then also, for example, the masala is for the imam also. That the volume of his qiraat, how loud should it be, how soft should it be. That should be measured according to the requirement. You got 2 musallis and you're screaming your head off. Or you got 5 serfs and you're just whispering. And you can't read louder. How the need is according to that time, according to that. And from that we can also understand that the mic is not necessary all the time also. The masala, whether namaz is, the mic is jais or not, that is a separate masala. But even so, that for example, it's a sirri namaz. And just your Allahu Akbar, everyone is quiet. All are not coughing all the time. And they're not going to be just coughing when you're going to say your Allahu Akbar. So they will hear your Allahu Akbar. You don't need the mic at that time. Then why even pick up the masala when you don't even need it? Yes, when it's a big crowd and it's a qiraat also. And of course, there are a lot of arguments that even then the qiraat is not necessary, wajib to hear, wajib to make it loud. But in sirri namaz, nobody hears the qiraat, namaz is correct. In jahri namaz, if they don't hear, namaz will still be correct. We just have to know the time, the takbirs of changing. Anyway, the sound also at what, this also we see is quite common. People who have got a hearing problem, then usually they can't hear, and al-mar'u yaqisu ala nafsihi. So we think the next person can't hear also. So a deaf person always speaks very loud, because according to him, the others can't hear. He can't hear, and he thinks the others are also the same. So he speaks very loud. So every okay, some people again, when they whisper so loud, you have to remind them, you are actually whispering. Their whisper also is so loud. So it's very important, all these aspects, and this is Islah of a person. Everything that we speak correctly, how many times arguments come about? Because we didn't speak, we speak with ambiguity. We have to learn to speak in an unambiguous way. Clearly, you must say what you mean, and you must mean what you say. You ask somebody, what do you mean? And so you must say clearly what you mean. And you must mean what you say. And this needs a lot of training also, so that a person can speak properly. So Allah Ta'ala has made the tongue without any bone. So don't use hard words. Then another question comes about, that people don't understand until some people, Hazrat Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh, went one to one of his murids, and that person had a habit of, when he was workers, he would just swear and speak to them. So Hazrat advised him, "It's not right, why you speak like this?" He said, "They don't understand any other language." As we also say, some people only understand one language. Na baat se maane to laat se maane. Otherwise they don't understand. But that is not the case. We should learn our, we should not destroy our akhlaq. Hazrat Zunnoon Misri rahmatullah alayh was on the banks of the Nile, and a scorpion was going in the water, and it was going to get drowned. So he pulled it out, and the scorpion bit him. So again it went, again he pulled it out, again, few times this happened. So Hadrat's Khadim told Hadrat that the scorpion is a muzi janwar, it just causes either harm all the time. And you doing good to it, but it will just do bad to you, it's biting you all the time. Why are you repeating? He said, "I learned this lesson from the scorpion. When it doesn't give up its bad habit, why should I give up my good habit? The scorpion's habit is bad, to bite. Why must I give up my good habit?" So we have a lot of lessons from here. People who do bad, they also, there are a lot of good lessons we can learn. The scorpion, it's got a bad habit, but from there learn to do the habit, but don't learn to do a bad habit repeatedly. Learn to do a good habit repeatedly. So a person who's got capacity in him, he will see from everything there are lessons for him to learn. So so some people that we think they only understand bad language, but if we do some little effort, and this is what is called tarbiyat. Tarbiyat is not just writing down rules and regulations, hang them up behind the bathroom door or in the, under the mirror, and these are the rules, bathroom rules for the children. No, they have to be imbibed, and it takes a lot of effort. Tarbiyat is not just you give one lecture and you expect results. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah chose him to be a Nabi, Allah, he asked Allah, "Ya Allah, you chose me to be a Nabi." Allah said, "Because how you look after your goats. Sheep are quite obedient. Goats are very naughty. And therefore, people who rear sheep, they'll keep one goat in them. The goat will lead the whole flock of sheep. The sheep themselves are quite stupid compared to goats also. But a goat is quite clever compared to sheep also. So they'll keep one goat amongst the sheep. It, whenever they want to take it to the kraal, etc., that one goat will lead them. So, and goats are naughty. They, to look after 50 sheep is not so difficult, but to look after 2 goats, it is much more difficult. They run in different directions. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, "Ya Allah, you look after the whole world. I look after my 40 goats and I get completely exhausted. How do you manage?" So that quality of hilam, of tolerance that came into you, Musa, looking after, I gave you nabuwat on that. So a person who has, and we lack that, how much we lack that quality of hilam, tolerance. Whether it is our students, it is famous, it's an Urdu saying, that girte huye ko girana koi kamal nahi. A person who is falling in life, and you push him down, that is no achievement. Girte huye ko sambhalna. A person who was falling, and you made him stand up in life. A person who was a drug addict, who was an alcoholic, who was abusive, who had all bad habits, you made a human out of him, that is an achievement. A person who was falling down in the gutters, in the drain, and you pushed him down into the drain, that is no achievement. A student in the class, a student that is quite intelligent, that is obedient, and he shines out, that is no achievement. But the student who was naughty, the student who was disobedient, the student who was dull, who couldn't do anything, you just made him pass, that is an achievement. So more attention also, a teacher also has to pay to those students that who are weak, who are disobedient, who are naughty, more attention has to be. Our children also, a shaykh with his murids, there are many who come already ready-made. They have got such qualities in them, you don't have to make effort. But on some, repeatedly you have to repeat your message, and you have to tell them, and you hope that finally something will be made out of this person. It's all in Allah's hands, and we all accept the decree of Allah, but effort is in our hands. So some, we just have to repeatedly remind them, repeatedly, no matter how they feel offended, and we are being singled out, and we are being personalized, but they need it. So the shaykh has to continuously make effort on them also. So anyway, the words that we use, when we're making tarbiyat of our children, of our students, of our murids, we have to use the right words also. And don't use those hard words. So Allah has made the tongue that it has got no bone in it. So we also should be careful in the usage of our words. And at the same time, see what a beautiful example has been given, that sulk. Anyone, when he feels sulk, how fine, how enjoyable it is to hold and handle sulk. It is so wonderful, like Satan sulk, we all know what is sulk. But sulk is so strong that a bullet doesn't go through sulk also. Two elephants, if they pull at sulk, they can't tear it apart. So strong it is, but it is so soft. So our word must be strong. What we say, what we want done, must get done. But the approach of yours, your tone, your choice of words, etc., don't be harsh in that. Use suitable words, use soft words, but say your words firmly. Somebody told Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in Haram of Makkah that Hazrat, you propagate, you encourage softness, and Hazrat was such a soft person. So if we will adopt your attitude, none of our workers will do any work. Well, we don't swear at them, shout at them, they don't do anything. Our children won't listen. Our students won't listen till we don't use that hard language and hard words upon them. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali said, when did I say you must not put the wrong right? When your workers are not listening, your students are not listening, your children are not listening, when did I say you must not put it right? But you must use the correct approach. In that there are few conditions. The first thing is, when somebody has done wrong and you have to put it right now, whether it's your worker, whether it's a family member, whether it's whoever, and now you have to put it right, the first thing is, let that person understand that he has done wrong. Many times we shout and we're going off on a tangent, and that poor person, he thought that he's doing right. On your wife, you shouting her so much that you, what call it, you did this like this, you did this like that. In her sincere mind and sincerely, she was doing it for your betterment, to give you more comfort. You looking at it differently. But in her mind, now she's wondering, today I went and do this for him, so much I tried and please him, and yeah, he gets so angry, and he's just shouting, and he's going on for himself. So first, understand the situation. that what is let that and with that person, and on that anzilun nas manazilahum, that come down to people according to their level. You might be a very great person, and that may be a small grade one student of yours, or it may be your little child. Understand that person's point of view also. And this is tarbiyat. You need time, as it is said, to make tarbiyat of children, to make tarbiyat of students, of murids. You have to change, convert your blood into water. In other words, so much effort you have to make. It's not a matter of shouting and swearing and think we have done tarbiyat. It's a matter of what great affection and feeling that you bring. Now that person, even if it's a little child, the child did some. Ask the child, why did you do this? And if it's a very small child, the only answer will be because. It's just small children, everything. Why? Because. Now, it was going to take you time to sit with the child and get out. Why did the child do this? Then explain to the child, no, you don't do it this way. Whether it's your wife also, whether it's your worker, your servant also, every person, understand why. And whenever there is an argument, there is a difference, normally we want to prove our point. But the more important thing is understand the mind of the next person. Understand that person's point. Only then can you explain to that person and make him understand. And many times you will see the whole thing will change. The whole argument will change. Once with one of our ustads, we had to bring something to his attention. And he wasn't responding. He wasn't coming to the office also. When he came, immediately he said another point against me, the principal. Then I told him, actually, what I wanted to speak to you about, what you have got in your mind is something completely different. I didn't want to have this thing in my mind at all. I wanted to speak to something for your own benefit. You were going to land into a problem with authorities, and I wanted to inform you about this. That is why. Now he had a different complete different conceptions, and there an argument. So when it becomes clear, and then you explain to the person the right way to do it, and then you don't become angry. That is one big condition. If you want to solve a problem, if you become angry, you can never solve it. And what follows from anger, bad language and foul language, that also you don't use, then you will be able to resolve a problem, and it will become so easy. And from that one problem, you have taught that person principles for life. Even if you are not living anymore, you don't have to police that person. He is going to make it part of his life, and he will bring it to other people also. So the tongue, we have to see, we have to be very careful, and we have to learn how to use the tongue correctly. Even if we just learn how to use our tongue correctly, we have become humans to a great extent. In the Khanqah of Hadrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, Hadrat should say, if you want to become a Sufi, go to some other Khanqah. If you want to become a human being, you come to my Khanqah here. I'll make you a human being. So to become a Sufi is no big deal, to read lot of wazifas and lot of nafils, etc. But you have to first become a human being. And you can read lot, but if your tongue, you don't know how to use it. With your wife, you don't use it correctly. With your parents, you don't use it correctly. With your friends, you don't use it correctly. How lot damage will be caused. Then Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala has made the tongue such that Allah put it between the 32 polices, the 32 teeth. This is like not only a police force, but in the police you have the riot police. Whenever there is a riot situation, there is a special department of the police who deal with riots. And they are armed also with different types of arms to handle that situation, that riot situation. So the 32 teeth also, Allah has made them all different. The front four teeth, the two on top and two at the bottom, Allah made them sharp. Like that they are for biting also. And when sometimes we bite our tongue, we know what pain we get. Sometimes your gums you bite, your tongue you bite, what pain you feel. And then the next eight teeth, two on top and two at the bottom, they are again different. And then the balance of the teeth, molars, they are again different. So Allah has made them all different. It is just like the riot police. And Allah has put them permanently over the tongue to control the tongue. that this tongue mustn't speak out of turn. That they are, like if there are police around, how careful are you? When the police is not there, you make a big noise and you carry on for yourself. But when the police is there, so Allah has put that. And that wasn't enough to handle the situation of the tongue. The tongue is so dangerous, it's such a dangerous thing that Allah put the two jaws, which are like the two regiments of the army. The police force, the riot police are also there. And two regiments of the army are also permanently there to control the tongue. So the tongue has to be, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, every morning all the parts of the body speak to the tongue and tell it, please you stay straight today, we will stay safe. And if you go crooked and you use yourself wrongly, we suffer the consequences. When a person accuses somebody, he swears somebody with his tongue, that person in return doesn't come and pull his tongue, or he doesn't come and bite his tongue, he gives him one slap, or he gives him one kick. So now another part of the body had to suffer because of the tongue. Right? When you use your tongue wrongly with your wife, you told her a whole lot of things which she didn't want to hear, and she told you 10 more things which you don't want to hear. Now your heart is sore, your mind is disturbed. The tongue, nothing. The tongue did the damage, but it doesn't get the damage in return. So the parts of all the parts of the body tell the body, tongue every morning, you stay straight, we will stay safe. So it's very important that the tongue must be, we have to learn to use the tongue correctly. So in this month, one simple thing we have to do, just speak less, only what is absolutely necessary. Allah will save us from all that, and that will, the tongue will come right. In this month, this tarbiyat, if we do for this 30 days, and fortunate are those who can spend 40 days, and for 40 days we learn to control the tongue, inshaAllah, for the whole life the tongue will be under control. Then we'll just have to top up, always just refresh again, little bit again, a reminder, and it will be sufficient. But first, get it done. The tongue must be corrected. The usage of the tongue must be corrected. And this, we are, whether, whoever we are, giving bayans, or whatever we are doing, we haven't learned how to use the tongue. A person who hasn't made his own tarbiyat, and he makes tarbiyat of other people. Okay? So first, we have to correct ourselves. So this, the barakat of this month, the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, Allah made it a month, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that taqwa comes. And by staying away from the halal for a little while, Allah will save us from haram all the time. In Ramzan Sharif, we stay away from food just during the day. From Sehri till Iftari we stay away. But if we do that properly, the barakat of it will carry on. And whole year, we stayed away from halal during the days of Ramadan, Allah will save us from haram. In the month of Ramadan, with regard to the eyes, all the other things, if we stay away from halal also, you don't look at your halal wife also with lust, then there should be no question that you look at other women. You leave your halal wife at home, and on the street you go and look at the filthy, naked, dirty woman. That doesn't make sense at all. When you are not looking at your halal wife with lust, then don't look at any woman. And by the barakat of that, whole life Allah will save you and your eyes. And a person who gets purity of the eyes, who only he can understand what joy, what jannat Allah has given him. A person who can use his tongue and his tongue is under control, only he will know what jannat Allah has given him in this world already. And Allah, as we have explained, that if one Ramzan goes properly and we make our islah, not one jannat, how many jannats in this dunya a person will have already? And what that jannat, and that jannat also, the real pleasure is not what we normally think. All the food and drink and the hurul ain, that jannat really is Allah's pleasure. When we'll see Allah, and if person has gained Allah's pleasure already in this dunya, what hasn't that person gained? So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. One of our friends, mashallah, saw nice dreams, and mashallah, he's a friend of ours who reads over about 5,000 duruds every day. And if we can manage it with all our other things, if we want to, agar tu hi na chahe, to hazar baate hai. If you don't want to do, then you'll have thousands of excuses. But where there's a will, there's a way. If we want to do, then Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah writes, while he was living, his woman in the house, together, they no servants, they do all the housework themselves. They entertain the guests, they have to be, Hazrat was very, very hospitable. Last minute, 5 people have come, 10 people, and they used to be busy, and they used to feed. Together with that, in Ramzan Sharif, 15, 20 suparas, one lady of the house should read. So if we want to, we can achieve. And if we don't want to, we'll have enough excuses. So he says, yeah, on the night of Juma, I saw in my dream that Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani Rahmatullah Ali was rendering the bayan in this khanqah. In the same dream, I saw Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, and he was sleeping next to me. So these are all mubashirat, encouragement for us to take advantage, apply ourselves little. The tawajjuh of our akabir, inshallah, is here. So if we just make little effort, well, how much won't we gain? A few nights ago, I saw Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib in my dream giving the bayan at the back of the masjid, while Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Adamallahu Fuyudhum, was at the front of the masjid. In the same night, I saw Hazrat Shaykh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali walking, and Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was walking behind him. And in the previous dream, he saw Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali giving out presents to all in the i'tikaf. So the tawajjuh of the buzurgs is here. It's a month of Ramadan, it's a month of Quran, it's a month of Roza. What isn't there for us? Let us just pay our attention, and if our islah can be made, whole life. Your car, which is troubling, you got a flat tire, but you're still driving it. It's jerking, you're still carrying on. The wires are touching, the water is blowing all the time. So many problems. Take it into the garage. You make sabr, we spend half a day, one day, let them fix up everything. Then how smoothly you're going to drive? How are you going to enjoy your drive? So yeah, also we have come into the garage. So make our islah. Apply ourselves here. Don't be like that person under the blankets eating chocolates. Then his sugar level's not going to go down. So yeah, also apply ourselves, and then whole year, whole life, we will drive smoothly in the family, in the business, wherever, with our friends, no problem with anyone. We'll just be moving smoothly. But if we don't correct ourselves, our car is jerking all the time. Your eyes, you got a problem. If a person's indicators, if he's putting the right side on, and the left side indicator is going on, what accidents he'll make. Person at the back will think that he's turning to the left, because your left indicator, but you put the right side. And you think you're turning to the right, you're going to make accidents. The car from in front, everyone going to get the wrong. So if our eyes indicators are not right, we have to be looking at our wives, but we're looking at our neighbor's wife all the time. Yeah, so your indicators are wrong. There is a problem. Or you are looking what you want to look at your wife, but you are looking at your sister-in-law all the time. And these problems are happening all the time. So then your indicators, you have to fix them up. Go to auto electrician. A spiritual auto electrician, so that he can fix up your indicators. That you want to look at your wife, you look at your wife. You don't look at somebody else. So this remedy is necessary. Then see smooth sailing. A car that is not roadworthy is not worth to be on the road. You'll get a heavy fine for that. So if we're not roadworthy, and we are moving in our homes, in our businesses, everywhere, we'll cause havoc all the time. May Allah give us tawfiq that our islah gets made. And don't forget dua together with this. Because not only our effort is 1,000 Allah's rahmat and his fazl. And we have to beg for him, for our islah. So where we're making other du'as, don't forget to make du'a for our islah.